in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, North Dakota State fans, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio podcast. I'm your host, Ross Uglum. I'm going to bring on in a little bit Matt Bigelow from Prep Hoops Dakota and kind of talk about the two what-ifs on North Dakota State men's basketball roster this season. I think the two additions, the two guys that could bring the most to this roster outside of maybe JUCO point guard Donald Carter III, are the two North Dakota natives recruited by head coach Dave Richmond, both coming with a significant amount of hype, and we're going to talk to Matt Bigelow about that in just a bit. But right now, we've got some news items to get to, certainly, with the preseason polls coming out for the Summit League, as well as the preseason, all Summit League teams, and some great scheduling news. I think we'll kick it off with that. North Dakota State securing themselves a December 5th date at Fog Allen to play KU. And that's a huge deal, folks. I know, NDSU, I was really excited to head out there. We're all juiced up about the opportunity to go out and play UCLA, go play at the Pavilion, go play out in the sun on the left coast with the Pac-12 canceling that game, and frankly with the COVID restrictions pushing back the start of college basketball, they weren't going to play that game anyway. So replacing that UCLA game with a date at KU, I mean, I don't think you can be any more pleased with that outcome. I would say the UCLA game probably a little bit more winnable, but I think you got to be thrilled getting a game at KU, getting a regional Power 5 Big 12 game. Bison fans will remember starting off last season's game in Manhattan against Kansas State. This KU club, quite formidable. Andy Katz is number 8 preseason college basketball squad. They're going to be good, but that's a big get. North Dakota State will also play TCU, another Big 12 opponent in Dallas right around Christmas time. But to get that second Power 5 game for this group is big time. I know that means a lot to the players. That's why folks come to North Dakota State to play Division I basketball, is a chance to play in a place like Fog and potentially knock off the Jayhawks. As far as those polls are concerned, a little bit surprising, a little bit of disrespect, if you will, for North Dakota State. NDSU league defending champions picked third in the league behind South Dakota State and behind Oral Roberts. I can understand that a little bit with South Dakota State. They bring back most of a roster that took second in the league last year behind NDSU, and will be, I think, a formidable group, specifically with preseason player of the year Doug Wilson and wing Noah Friedel, who went absolutely nuts in the Summit League tournament. I think that performance in the SLT probably is what earned him preseason all first team Summit League honors. I think people are really excited. The one thing that I did think was odd was Rocky Cruiser being the only Bison named any team at all, second team guy. You see what Tyree Edie, what Sam Griesel have brought to this league in the past. And I just think that it's we're going to see it again, which is that they're going to be more Bison on the postseason all Summit League teams than there are on the preseason one. And we're going to have a really exciting Summit League schedule. I think one that turned out favorably for North Dakota State. If you've seen the Jeff Goodman leaked version of this schedule, you will see that SDSU has to come to Fargo for their two-game set. They're going to play this a little bit like college hockey, folks. Friday, Saturday night contests. You're going to play two games in 2 days at one venue. And right now, NDSU is scheduled to do that hosting South Dakota State. They will go to UND. There are a couple of other sets that I won't get into, but that hosting South Dakota State is a big one. I also believe I would have to check, but I believe they are going to host Oral Roberts as well, which would be a really, really big deal, considering both Oral and South Dakota State are the only two teams picked ahead of the Bison, and that is accurate. According to the schedule leaked by Jeff Goodman, the Bison will host both South Dakota State and ORU, so that is a big, big deal. Now, we had Ryan James on talking about the addition of Andrew Morgan. He's going to be a top 200 overall player for Prep Hoops, would equate to a three or four, probably a three-star kid, for 24/7 in that. For, I mean, we're talking about the biggest recruit in the history of North Dakota State basketball. But I'm bringing Matt Bigelow on now because I want to talk about two guys that are headed to North Dakota State. Actually, they're already on campus. They're practicing. They're getting ready for the season. And they've got a free year. Bowden Skunberg and Grant Nelson are going to be able to play this year without any eligibility concerns. They're going to be able to play whether you would have redshirted them or not. And both guys, I think, Matt, are players to watch, instant impact guys with as much scoring as has gone out the door with Jared Samuelson, Vinny Shaheed, and Tyson Ward.
Yeah, Ross, I agree. I mean, you're replacing out of your top seven guys, you're replacing four of them and two kind of all league caliber guys, you know, on the perimeter. And, you know, so there's a lot of minutes there. And I think Skunberg is probably the one most equipped right now to come in and make kind of an impact like that and fill big minutes right away. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a big need for both those guys to probably contribute.
So tell me a little bit about Skunberg's game, because we've seen two different, in my opinion, two different type of players take on that number two role at NDSU. You had, you know, your super duper star in Paul Miller playing for Dave, who was a guy who could handle the ball a little bit, but really a go-to scorer, a guy that can get his own shot and, you know, was the star of the team during his time at NDSU. And then you've got the spot-up shooter, the Mike Nelson archetype, if you will. The Jared Samuelson archetype, certainly. NDSU has always so had the wing stopper play the two in Corey Brown. I mean, they've had those teams as well where the two-man just goes out and takes out the guys or the opponent's best player. Where do you see Bowden's game kind of translating to this North Dakota State team, both in during this season, and what kind of player do you think he could progress into?
Yeah, I think he's the type of kid who can probably play good minutes now as a freshman. I mean, it's, you want to keep your expectations probably, you know, low to a degree in this year, maybe more than any, because it's just weird. But he's got the body, you know, that's the first thing you probably worry about. I mean, he's as a, you know, for freshman, I mean, he's 6'4", 6'5". He's pretty physically developed. I don't see maybe go-to scorer as a freshman. I mean, that's putting a lot on a kid's plate, but he strikes me as the type of kid with his skill, his athleticism, you know, the overall scoring package where, I don't think he's just going to be stand in the corner and shoot threes guy. I think he can do more than that as kind of a complimentary kind of playmaker and facilitator. And he's got the size to get to the rim. He's a really good shooter. I mean, he can shoot it from the perimeter too. So, I mean, I think he's going to give you value in that area right away. And he's a smart, he's big, and he can obviously make plays as well. So you don't have to worry about him getting the ball and he's not going to know what to do with it. He's certainly comfortable in that area. I think he can grow into maybe one of those kind of go-to guys, you know, maybe as early as next year, or definitely as an upperclassman. I think the expectations for him should be probably that he plays good minutes right now. And if he's more than a solid shooter and he gives you more as a playmaker, that's kind of gravy. And, you know, keeping in mind that he can probably grow into something like that later.
Okay, so give me the defensive skinny on Bowden, because I think that is, and we've seen it with my guy Jackson Notek, who can absolutely fill it up. But what we've seen with Jax is, until Coach Richmond, and I've seen with all the wings that have ever come through North Dakota State, until Coach Richmond completely and totally trusts you on the defensive end, I don't care what kind of bucket getter you are, you're going to see reduced minutes. And that, I think, is what everyone wants to know with Bowden, because as you mentioned, for a mid-major two, he's got phenomenal length. He's a good size kid. What did you think of his defensive ability at Jamestown?
I mean, there's just not a lot of guys that are going to challenge him at the high school level to really push his defensive ability. But I mean, I'll put it this way. I think he's got the tools. You know, like you said, he's big, he's athletic, he's smart. And I would trust that, you know, their coaches, you know, Coach Lloyd, I think at Jamestown is certainly, he preaches defense. I believe he comes from that Bismarck Century system where, you know, defense is kind of at a premium. Jamestown, I mean, a terrific defensive team in general. And so, and maybe that covers up some of his stuff, but he certainly has the athletic tools to be a good defender. Everybody knows freshmen generally struggle with the defense right away when they're coming to college, but I think the skills are there. You know, the game's going to move fast. He's going to probably be matched up with better players than he's ever been really matched up with consistently before. That doesn't take a genius to analyze that, but he's going to have to probably play, and there might have to be some lumps for Richmond, because there's just not a lot of experienced bodies back anyway, but I think he could do it. I mean, is he going to be a lockdown defender from day one? Probably not. I would be surprised by that. I think most people would be surprised by that. But I think he can be probably a competent piece on that side of the ball because of his size and because he's a smart player too.
And okay, so that actually brings up kind of a 40,000 foot question that I want to ask you, because it's something that has been used by it for whatever reason, and it is beyond me. And I've gone on so many rants on this show about Bison fans that think they can do better than David Richmond. One of the anti-Richmond tropes of late has been that he's, you know, losing in recruiting, or he's being lazy in recruiting because his notable gets over the last couple of years, now Andrew Morgan, etc., Donald Carter, moving forward are different, but for a while there, the notable gets were Malik Harden-Hayes from Moorhead, that's literally across the river, Noah Christensen from Breckenridge, that's a 35-minute drive, Bowden Skunberg in-state, Jamestown, again, an hour and a half, and then Grant Nelson, Devil's Lake. I can see that point of view. I don't agree, because I've actually evaluated the kids, but I can see that point of view. What would you say to people criticizing Coach Richmond for only getting these local kids over the course of the last couple of recruiting classes?
I mean, I would probably say, look at the kids they've had. I mean, he hasn't really brought in a lot of North Dakota kids before these two. And that makes sense. I don't think the 2019 class in North Dakota had any Division I recruitable talent, and the 21 class doesn't really have a lot of Division I recruitable talent. It's not like he's just taking normal North Dakota kids. Malik Harden was a guy that the upside, I think, is just too big to pass up on. He's the type of kid that I know D2s wanted really, really badly for him to commit before D1s got in there, because there's athletic skills in there that if you can harness that, you've got a really, really good player. And I think when you're at NDSU and you've got a chance to get a kid that is basically in your backyard, you have to take it. And if that means maybe taking a couple of projects that like Harden and like Christensen, who are maybe long-term plays, absolutely. I think that's worth it, because, I mean, we see, you know, from the Minnesota side, how much blasting do we hear the locals get fired up over Patino not getting enough local talent? I don't know if the Fargo Pitchfork Nation is quite on that level, but when you have a chance to get talent from your backyard, I mean, you take it. And when the upside is higher like that, it's worth it. And in Bowden, you know, Skunberg, I mean, he's a no brainer. He's the best player North Dakota's had in a number of years and the best prospect, you know, they've seen in a while. So that's the type of kid that I would assume every Summit League school would probably want him if you got a chance. And I'm pretty sure Iowa came in late and had at least some interest. I don't know if they came in with an offer, but there was interest. And so he's clearly at that level caliber of a recruit. And Nelson, I think, is another one of those where the upside potentially is that you have a guy that's an all league caliber player if the stars align for him. So I don't know. I wouldn't question the recruiting. I mean, the track record speaks for itself. They've had a ton of success here in the last few years. And I mean, yeah, that's as much as I can say on that. They've had plenty of success. So, yeah, you might as well take the kids that have the upside. And if the kids that have the upside are from your backyard, it's like, why not?
Yeah, that's my take on it too. I wanted, you're the Prep Hoops Dakota expert, so I wanted your opinion on that, because I know Creighton and even Minnesota were at least looking at Christensen. But his family is a huge North Dakota State family, and it was just so clear that they were kind of barking up the wrong tree there. Harden Hayes had a South Dakota State offer. I mean, that's the top team in the league if North Dakota State isn't the top team in the league.
Yep.
And as you mentioned, I mean, Bowden is Bowden and Grant. And that's the next guy I want to talk about, because I tell you, you know, Coach Richmond is a great guy. I've enjoyed working with him over the years, but he is reserved. You know, he doesn't like to give out little tidbits. He does not like to play his cards. I'm going to have a little interview with him. Well, today is when you're going to hear this, folks, but you know, I'll ask him who he's going to start and he won't tell me. And I'll ask him who's going to play and he won't tell me. And he won't tell me a number of things, but what between him and Kyan Brown, the level of excitement over the type of player that Grant Nelson could be is palpable. Of course, you add the commitment of Andrew Morgan to that. And you add the potential that, you know, the obvious potential and possibility that Rocky Cruiser who did not redshirt could take this year and join them in the 2021-2022 season. This front court could be out of control, but I want to skip Cruiser and Morgan for right now. One obviously being potentially a fifth year senior and one being one of the higher profile freshmen in Bison history, and talk about Nelson, who is on campus right now, because as I mentioned, It's ear to ear grins with the head coach and with his top assistant, who also happens to be his big man coach. I mean, Kyan works with the bigs. It's no mystery, and giddy is how I would describe both of these guys when talking about Grant Nelson's ceiling.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's good reason for that. I mean, even putting him with it's hard to leave out the rest of that front court as part of the equation, because I think the way he fits, if you're putting puzzle pieces together, he fits really, really nicely with Morgan, which is kind of a timely get, because Morgan is kind of he's a big, strong kind of ox inside, right? He's the Iowa farm boy type. Nelson is he's long, he's lanky. I think he's put on some weight, but he's not in that kind of physical mold, but he's so long. He's very skilled. He's another kid that I think he's kind of a late bloomer. He burst onto the scene his summer going between his junior year and his senior year. He had a massive jump in terms of his interest levels. And if I'm not mistaken, he was a guy who is typical, kind of like that Anthony Davis, you know, where they're undersized, they're a guard, and they hit the big growth spurt. If I'm not mistaken, he had something similar to that, where, you know, he was like undersized, maybe as an underclassman, and then he shot up to 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", and all those skills kind of kept translating. He's got limbs for days. I mean, he's a long, long kid. It's easy to see where there's a big upside with him, because he's got the mobility to, you know, all the high screen and roll action that we see nowadays in hoops everywhere, really, especially college hoops, ton of high pick and roll stuff where he's got the quickness and the mobility to get out and handle that kind of stuff, but also get back and protect the paint. So I think he could be just a potential defensive menace with his length and his mobility. And then on the offensive side of the ball, he's got pretty good skills. I mean, he's got a nice jump shot. He's got soft touch. He can get that thing out to the 3-point line. I don't remember what percentages he shot at the high school level, but you can see it as a college coach in Salovey, because it's definitely projectable. I can see him being a pick and pop kind of floor spacing big, but he's also not the big that falls in love with it. He'll get to the paint. He'll get to the rim. And he'll mix it up inside. So I think as he grows physically, he's got potential through the roof.
He really does. And so like with you talk about his length, I've seen the team photo this year, and they on NDSU's sports information website, they list both Rocky Cruiser and Grant Nelson as 6'10". Go look at that picture. Those two dudes are not the same height. They just aren't. And if Grant Nelson is really starting to stretch into that 6'11" mark, I mean, that's length you just absolutely do not see at the Summit League level with any type of skill. And I don't mean that disrespectfully to the guys like Brandon Gilbeck or even, you know, guys that have played at North Dakota State in the past. But you get to be 6'10", 6'11" in the Summit League, that pretty much means you rim protect an offensive rebound and you lay it back in. You know, I mean, these are not normally skilled bigs. When you start to approach that 7-foot area, you're not going to see a lot of mid-major bigs be as skilled as Grant kind of already is. And I think you nailed it. It's because he was a guard when he was younger. And then, I feel like I'm kind of throwing some people under the bus here, but you can maybe back me up on this. I did not think his Devils like teammates were very skilled. I thought he had to handle a lot of things that he would not have had to handle on that Devils like squad if he had, you know, some more gifted ball handlers around him.
100%. Yeah, it was very much the Grant Nelson show last year for Devils Lake. And I think that's what makes the stuff he did last year all that much more impressive. I mean, he destroyed some of the top bigs in the EDC last year. I mean, there weren't Division I level players, but he did what a Division I recruit does to Division II recruits, and probably then some. I mean, he took it to guys. I mean, he put up, you know, 25 plus points a night and I think 15 or 18 rebounds. I mean, he blocked a bunch of shots on a team where he's not getting any help. So you probably have at least 1.5 defenders on him every night, and multiple hands and eyeballs are all over him. When he played over the summer with his grassroots team, a collection of a lot of the top talent in the area, it wasn't all on him. And you kind of saw the diversity in his skill, that he's able to get to the paint. He's able to get to the rim in the low post. But he can also step out and space the floor as kind of a trailing big who can shoot it, you know, in pick and pop situations. He's got all that stuff in his game, and he probably didn't showcase it a ton during the high school season. So if you saw him during high school, you see a big, long, skinny guy who can certainly score, but there's more in there, I think, as a perimeter kind of face up four-man, which, as you mentioned, in a league where that kind of archetype player is usually about 6'7", he's probably about 6'10", you know, and I would assume his wingspan is in the 7-foot plus range.
Unreal. And I'd like to get into a couple more things, but first I want to have an opportunity to chat about our sponsor for this show, and that's Rise Training and Fitness in Moorhead, Minnesota. Rise, of course, co-owned by former Minnesota State Moorhead basketball star Aaron Lean and former North Dakota State fullback, running back, tight end, multi-purpose talent, Chase Morlock. Chase and Aaron do a great job over there. They are being very COVID-19 safe, allowing for online access to some of their workouts as well as in-person, but very much sanitized and spaced out options for both young athlete training and adult fitness. Those adult classes are going to be at 7 a.m., 8 a.m., and then an open period, which is the one I'm usually at. The open period is from 11 to 1. You go in anytime between 11 and 1, as long as you're there by 12:20 and can complete the 40-minute workout by closing time, if you will, over your lunch break. It's just a phenomenal value and a really good way to get in shape over the winter months. And obviously, guys, there's no buys in football. Take this opportunity to get back into shape. I know I'm doing it. Obviously had a young daughter in April. I'd like to be around for a real long time, a real long portion of her life. We want to thank our buddies over at Rise Fitness for sponsoring the show. We definitely appreciate it. Matt, what I wanted to kind of ask you is where do you see this North Dakota State team? And I don't know how much Summit League you pay attention to, but you have to be a little bit inundated with it, considering you cover an area where Summit League teams are definitely coming in and recruiting, like specifically this Bowden Skunberg. And I'm really excited to see him match up against Noah Friedel for the next 3 or 4 years, because you've got, I think, really similar stories where Friedel was this T South Dakota scoring legend, a smaller school. Obviously, you know, Bowden being from Jamestown, those two, their opportunity to really go at each other as representatives of their states. But where do you see that North Dakota State, South Dakota State matchup? And where do you think North Dakota State has the ability to finish after losing Vinny Shaheed, Tyson Ward, and other key contributors?
Yeah, I mean, you kind of mentioned it off the top how they're projected, I think, third in the Summit. I think that's probably... it's probably fair. I mean, you probably don't want to assume they're the favorite after they're losing, you know, two of the best players in the league. But they've had a ton of success. I mean, I think Richmond's shown he can bring in guys. I mean, Shaheed was a JUCO transfer who before he showed up, nobody really probably had huge expectations for him. And Tyson Ward was a guy who kind of grew into being an all-league caliber guy by the time he was an upperclassman. So it's kind of where you want to be. I mean, you hear all these college coaches always talk about how they want to get old and stay old. And, you know, guys who come in as they play as freshmen, then they play a little more as sophomores. And by the time they're upperclassmen, they're these grizzled vets who've kind of been around. And NDSU might be, I tend to think they're probably in like step two of that, where a lot of these guys are going to, I think, you know, Malik Harden is going to have to take a jump here from his freshman to a sophomore year. And Skunberg's going to have to play regular minutes, and some of their other guys are going to have to take that next step. So they require a little projection. You know, it's hard to know how high they can possibly be. I think the floor is that you're always going to have a team that's competitive. They've proven they win defensively. They execute pretty well on the offensive side of the ball. And now it's just about probably taking some lumps with some of these green guys, you know, some of these freshmen and redshirt guys that, the upside's there maybe long term, and this year I think South Dakota State with the juice that they got coming back is fairly projected ahead of them. I think that's probably, you know, understandable. But yeah, I mean, I think the upside with a lot of these players, man. I mean, if Harden as a big one, and obviously we haven't even talked about Christensen a whole lot, but he's a guy that's got a ton of potential that it'll be interesting just to see him grow from this year over the course of really even just this year, not to speak of even the next, you know, 3-4 years. But I mean, I think they're probably in the mix. I wouldn't consider them the favorite in the Summit. I'm certainly not a Summit expert, but I wouldn't consider them the favorite. But I don't think they're looking at like bottoming out or anything like that. I think they've got enough guys, and Rocky Cruiser's back, and I could see him having a really, really good year. He's a fine player. And they've got enough pieces where I think they can keep it together and really compete.
Yeah, and so, I mean, your big-time minute guys are Cruiser, Edie, Griesel. Those are your three that have absolutely been, you know, in the battle. And then you've got guys that have definitely seen spot time in important roles. Witz was the backup big last year, played plenty of minutes. He'll play the exact same role this season. But you have guys in Harden Hayes and in obviously Jackson Notek that have had big roles. I think what this season, and we'll get into this kind of in depth when Nate and I do the Bison Report Radio basketball preview episode. This season to me is going to come down to Desmond McKinney and Donald Carter III. Bison basketball has never succeeded without excellent point guard play. I mean, that goes back from you talk about Ben Woodside and Lawrence Alexander and Vinny Shahid, they're going to need a lead guard to play well. And whether that's the JUCO transfer in DC3 or the young gun in Desmond McKinney, somebody with some leadership ability is going to need to be able to bring the ball up the floor. Matt, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate you and your, you know, kind of expert take on these local kids that have infiltrated this North Dakota State system. We appreciate the time.
Hey, thanks, Russ. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. Thanks one more time to Rise Fitness. And thank you guys for listening. We'll catch you very soon with a episode, kind of the preview episode with myself and Coach Richmond. Go Bison.